Hey everyone, Kurt Frankum here, CoreCast! So, I've obviously had a hiatus from the CoreCast, and let me tell you why. Well, I've shared, some of the conference, the leadership conference content and whatnot, but, so I took that, sorry, it's just silly, but I sent out a core leader survey. Many of you saw that, which is great. And got some feedback, and there was one comment, and you're probably listening to this, love you, brother, I don't even know who it is, or sister, or whatever, but one person said, I wish the CoreCast had more leadership content and less trips to the grocery store, like something like that, and I was like, oh, well, okay, I mean, I appreciate the feedback, and again, it was just one comment out of hundreds, and, or about out of a hundred, and so I've been like, I guess I've been a little more aware of that. And I'm like, well, I don't want to just turn on the recorder when I'm going to the grocery store or whatever. But here's the deal. Like, it's either this or nothing. But really in the future, like, I'm putting some plans together that we're really going to up the value of being a core leader. Essentially, like, future summits will only be available to core leaders. And so... and I hope to have more interviews. You know, I do a lot of Facebook lives and random interviews, during the week that I don't push out through the podcast that I'll post here. So I hope to get more and more value there, but hey, if you hate just listening to me drive around town talking, like, you don't have to listen, obviously. So I will not be offended, but you know, I just like to, I enjoy, sharing some thoughts that come to mind. And, a lot of these thoughts feed into what is talked about on the main podcast or in my newsletter or whatever it is. But two things, I guess. I'm trying to think. One, we'll see if I talk about two things depending on how long I take on this first one. But there's been, you know, I just had the opportunity to go to Alaska and to Arizona. And I believe in both places, if I may be mixing up memories here, but there was talk about award or stake in each location being required to, that they can't feed the missionaries unless there's an investigator present. And I've heard this even back, way back, you know, how it's been almost, 15, 16, 17 years ago when I was a missionary. We didn't have this rule, but I remember it. I remember hearing about it. And from what I gather, I've asked on the helpers group or I've seen discussion on the helpers group. And what I'm gathering is it's just coming down from an area authority. It doesn't sound like it's, church wide by any means. I think that this would, get picked up more in the newsroom and whatnot. But, anyways, but it's sounding like an area presidency or area authorities are mandating this, and it's not necessarily the mission president's deal. But the short of it is, I just think this is a horrible idea. A horrible idea. I mean, I can't think of a worse way to handle relationships with missionaries. Now, I get it. Okay, like, yes, they have the authority to mandate something like this. I'm not trying to be, you know, critical of them. I'm just trying to talk about the principle and concept of it. If they want to go this way, so be it. I mean, every ward, every organization has their leader that sort of takes a different turn on things. And hey, bless your heart for trying something different, I guess. But to me, this isn't really different. I've been tried again. And I've never, ever, ever heard of a mission or a location where they've come back and said, boom, this was the secret. Man, we just required an investigator to be at every dinner appointment, and it just worked. And we were just getting baptisms and people joining the church. Like, I've never heard that, and I would be shocked if I ever heard that. Because, I mean, it's like anybody who's out there that works in sales, or, you know, obviously, I don't want to say I work in sales with Leading Saints, but obviously I'm constantly fundraising. I'm constantly building bridges. I'm constantly networking in order to... determine in order to find people to they'll turn into donors, right? So for example, I went to Arizona. I was actually, somebody covered the plane ticket for my wife and I to go down there so I could do these interviews and do a workshop. And so, by the way, if there's anybody out there who's willing to just cover the plane ticket, I'm willing to travel anywhere in the world and do a workshop and do interviews and things. It's awesome. It was in Alaska and in Arizona. It was absolutely a success, and people loved it, and it was great. Anyways, so I go down there, and it's while I'm down there, it's like, it's not as far as like my minute per minute. Like if you're just to follow me around with a camera, like it's not overly like effective of use of my time, right? I'm like away from home, away from my office, out of my routine. Like there's probably other things that I need to get done at home, right? Or for Leading Saints in my home office, whatever. But I met some incredible people through these interviews I did, and being in person, shaking their hands, being in their home. Like I built relationships there that down the road, I absolutely have several people I could call and say, hey, we got this project going. We need some funders. We need some funds to do it. Like, let's make it happen, right? So my point being is that, like, missionary work, it's just not like this this transactional thing. Like, okay, what we need you to do is bring a friend, and then I'll baptize that friend. And there's so much more networking that happens there. And I believe that most mission presidents, they try to keep missionaries in an area as long as possible. I know there's some people out there that feel like, man, it seems like every time we turn around, we get new missionaries. And, you know, it's, and as you, many of you remember from the mission days, like there's just so many moving parts and transfers, people coming in, people going home. Like sometimes you just can't avoid that. And especially, you know, I was in a coordinating council when I was in a stake presidency, and I went to a coordinating council in place of my stake president, and the mission president was there, and a stake president raised his hand and said, man, to the mission president, said, man, we'd really appreciate it if you didn't whitewash, I think the term is, whitewash an area, right, where you transfer both sets of investigators out. And the area authority there, who was a former mission president, said, I guarantee you, the mission president never means transfer two missionaries out. Like, it's just, that's, but just the way it happens, right? There's just so many moving pieces and a domino effect. So the point being is that missionaries, they need a chance to build a relationship to lead to success. And a lot of those times, like the day-to-day, hour-to-hour activities of building relationship, just oftentimes can feel like a complete waste of time, or it can be seen that, oh, this missionary is just going to dinner with his member and just hanging out in their house, right? Like that's one aspect of it, is that you got to give the missionaries a chance to build a relationship. If I have a missionary in my home two or three times, or they come once for dinner and then they stop by another day for a drink of water, and then another day just because an appointment fell through and they're in the area, like I'm building a relationship there. And so that's one thing. It's like, I feel like that rule is taking the legs out from under missionaries who are striving to build a relationship so that they can feel comfortable asking for a referral, or the members can feel comfortable asking a referral. So that's point one. Point two was, point two, let me think of it here. Like, point two is, it's not, to me, there's like too much emphasis and focus on missionaries to request a referral in the home of members, that to me, of course, if that comes, that's great, but it's always this awkward conversation in the home. And I've written about this, there's an article on Leading Saints about this, that I think it's called like the one mistake missionaries make when asking for referrals or something, or working with members, or I don't know, you'll have to find it. Let me know if you can't find it. But like missionaries should be like, should build those relationships, but also not just expect referrals, but help members work on the next step in missionary work. So for example, instead of saying, you know, do you have a referral that you can give me? Instead saying, are there people in your life that someday could possibly end up in joining the church? Everybody's going to say yes. Okay, let's identify them. And I went through this exercise with missionaries in place I lived before, and I said, there are, this is when I lived in a condo, I said, downstairs there's a family that's not a member, okay? Well, they're not in a place I would not even feel close to comfortable asking them if they'd want to meet the missionaries. I wouldn't feel comfortable sending the missionaries. They would hate that. It would damage our relationship. But I know that the father, who was about my age, really enjoyed movies. We'd always talk about the recent movies we'd seen. And so I said, I can commit to asking him to go to a movie with me, right? To work on that relationship. And then if the missionary follows up to me and says, hey, Brother Frankum, did you go with that brother to see a movie, or what's the plan there? I'm like, oh, you know, I haven't asked him yet, but I thank you for following up. There's a new movie out. I'm going to do that, right? And that's making one more step, so that he's helping me, reminding me to build that relationship, build that relationship so that down the road I can hopefully produce a referral to future missionaries, right? The third point being why this is a horrible idea as far as this rule being is that, as many of you know who've been on missions, like, mission days are long, they're hard, and you know what? Sometimes the only thing you have to look forward to during a day, a long day, knocking on doors, working hard, the only thing you have to look forward to is what that dinner's going to be that night, or who's it's with, or the fact that you're going to go into a home that feels a little bit like home. Like, it just is an opportunity for an hour to feel like you're in a loving home, people care about you, and they're feeding you delicious food, and it's a wonderful experience, right? So, heaven forbid we give missionaries that opportunity to do that. So, that's why we need to have missionaries in our home eating.